I'm having the worst time. Welcome to Bad Watch.
Wait, are we starting? Yeah. Okay. Hi guys. Hi. Hello.
Is for some reason really excited to talk about this show.
I,
however, am not at all excited. I didn't sleep well, and also this is a really fucking bad show.
It's delightful, okay?
So, Netflix has a science fiction program called Another Life, presumably titled so because Second Life was taken by a much more popular thing.
You think they're...
Although I have no idea if we're supposed to believe that the people in this show live multiple lives.
I thought it was more like the writers need a second life, but they couldn't use that. So it shows we'll take a second life to work on.
If writing this show was a video game, I'm convinced that the writers would like try to think of the most inventive ways to kill themselves because they're all so depressed
for working on this show. I mean, they failed on this show. It's just so bad.
So we watched Another Life, and because there's only one season for now, we hope to God there's only one season ever, we watched Another Life, episode 6, appropriately titled, I Think We're Alone Now, which is by, or that's not by, it's the same as that 80s song, I Think We're Alone Now,
yeah,
sung by that redhead in like shopping malls across America.
Yeah,
I wasn't alive then, but I did watch I Love the 80s on VH1, so... It's like I was there.
I was just staring at Evan to see if that would cause him to stumble.
I was around for most of 1989, so it was like I was there.
I was sort of surprised. Did they use that song during the?
I don't think they used anything besides like stock ominous synth music.
Yeah. Okay.
There was certainly no licensing happening.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to save money because they spent on that CGI budget.
They spent the budget on CGI, and also they had a big pull with Katie Sackhoff, a.k.a. Starbuck, a.k.a. Ripped Blonde Woman,
who plays the same character. The female Tom Cruise.
I don't know. I feel like that's maybe a slight against Tom Cruise.
I mean, he has a couple good movies, but generally he fixes his faces one facial expression. Just... grim anger.
He has
slash running.
He has the one facial expression, but he has charisma for days, which is why he is a famous movie star. And Katie Sackhoff has a face and hair and muscles, and she's often wearing a tank top, which I guess is like her personality.
Probably contractually bound.
Contractually,
like this. You did okay in Battlestar Galactica. We're gonna do it again.
Do you think the writers demanded that she only wear a tank top in the show, or that's in her contract?
Any
project she won't consider unless her character's always wearing a tank top.
In the research for this, and by that I mean I was just checking the show before we were going to review this right now, there was a thumbnail of the show, and it was her in a sports bra shooting something. I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty standard.
It was very clearly a ripoff, or not maybe an outer ripoff. Let's say it was an homage to Ripley from Alien. Alien is an amazing film, and Another Life is a complete waste of everyone's time. We open on Starbuck in a very Earth 2019 looking astronaut suit.
Yeah.
And she's just... lost in space.
So Evan, we watched this separately, and Evan was like texting me stuff about this, and I started watching this, and the first like 2 minutes of her, or like whatever 1 minute, was her drifting. So I immediately texted him like, "Is this a bottle episode?" And she's in her suit the entire time. I was mad about that, and then come to like the rest of the episode played, and I was I was like, I wish they'd just done her in a suit the entire episode.
That, you know, it would have been, that would have been way harder to screw up. It would not have been any more interesting to
flashbacks
watch.
Flashbacks and low oxygen warnings and stuff like that. That would have been, all right, it would have been tense. Okay.
And that's what's annoying is they zoom in on her face in the space suit and she realizes she's all alone in the cold, darkness, infinite space. And then they zoom out to show that she's a tiny speck of humanity in broad, infinite space. Mm-hmm. And then they're like 15 minutes earlier. And I was like, oh, fuck, no. and then we're on, we're, I guess, in the present. And then it's like 10 years earlier. And I was like, yeah, what the fuck?
Immediately jumping around. Like, it's not... It's pretty bad. What was that FBI show we watched, or CIA show?
Quantico.
It's not Quantico levels.
It was both madness. FBI and CIA.
Yeah, okay, so okay. It's fine. Not Quantico levels of madness yet, but it was like, I was like, oh, this is a, it's not a strong start, guys.
I immediately had Quantico PTSD flashbacks. Yeah. It was, yeah.
So you had a flashback within their flashback?
It was bad news bears, man. But the Starbuck lady is captain of a ship called the Salvare. Yep. And I don't know what their mission is.
Or save
what
the Earth.
What the hell they're doing. They're but they're in space. Humanity. They're on a big ship.
Yeah.
They're traveling. And
they're like cutting to like introduce some of the crew so you see them. Yes. And in what appears to be various states of undress, but actually is their different outfits.
Okay. Andy and I are in Chicago, and so many of the crew members, I guess, exclusively the female crew members,
yes,
to be fair, looked like they were dressed for brunch in Wicker Park. Like they're gonna go to that Hawaiian brunch place where
I got
it
that
says
midriff bear.
Rose all day in neon on an AstroTurf wall, and everyone takes Instagram photos in front of it. That's what these women were dressed like.
Ridiculous.
There's the badass woman with the short haircut and the cool red leather jacket. There's the like the cute brunette who's supposed to be like the girl next door, and she's talking with one of the male mechanics. He's like, I think you want to do this. And she says, I think I know what I want. And she looks at him meaningfully.
My immediate reaction to this stuff was like, all right, so someone didn't take the psych test when they decided
someone
to send
take,
people to
someone
space.
Either had a friend take the psych test for them. Or
you're stable? Can you do this?
Or they're like, the Salvare is doomed. Let's put all the wackos on there. Let's send them out on a Deep Space Nine and just fuck off.
Oh my god.
So there's all these characters, and there's also a man named Sasha, which was confusing. And I think
there's also a trans.
There's
woman.
I was never clear.
Use a pronoun? I don't remember.
No, that's how I thought of them. The doctor on the ship.
Yeah.
It was very, their gender was very unclear, which honestly, I thought they did a very nice job of that because it was,
they just
I
didn't
guess,
talk about
at
it.
At least in episode 6, it was not remarked on at
it's
all.
Fine.
It was just,
that I mean, this is episode 6, so they probably addressed it at some point, but
yes,
it's
and
fine.
It was
okay,
probably
cool.
Done very poorly. But the doctor is very, you have, it's, I wasn't even
androgynous.
Unclear if the actor was, how they, what their gender identification was. But yeah. Then there's a man named Sasha. He identifies as male. I'm assuming assigned male at birth.
Do we need to do this on everyone?
No. But okay. I want to talk about Sasha because he is
was he the good looking guy?
Was the handsome blonde guy all the ladies want to have brunch with.
God,
after
that whole
they,
thing
after
made
they
me so
check
angry.
Up. That's why they're all dressed like this. They all want to get with Sasha. Yeah. He's literally swabbing the decks. And then... which weren't even dirty. That and also, he seemed like kind of high ranking. Like, why is he swabbing the deck?
Yeah, and actually, did they give him like a title? Did they mention a title for him at all the entire time?
Sasha.
Yeah, okay, I didn't think so.
First
I didn't think
Lieutenant
they had,
Sasha.
I didn't think he had like first biologist or something. I didn't say anything like that. I don't remember it.
What's it, Bosun? He's the Bosasha.
He's the Bosasha.
Bosasha.
FIFA Bosasha.
First Bosasha. He's swabbing the deck, and a doppelganger, like. You were given the impression it was Sasha from the future, also in a cool red leather jacket. So I'm thinking that later, prediction time, he kills the woman wearing the cool red leather jacket.
And
then
it, where...
he becomes president?
He wears he... face like skin? I don't know. I'm a little darker, I guess.
Swabbing the deck. The red leather Sasha is talking to crazy Sasha, who's hallucinating or something. He says, I learned hard work in deep space, and that's how I became president, or something. And then, and then Sasha in present time says, stop! And he's like yelling at himself.
Yes.
From the future. And everyone's
like... But it's not a different timeline.
That's... Everyone's like, what happened to First Mate Bosasha? And then he...
Wait, was that... It was in amongst the crew members. They saw that madness.
Yeah, they're like, well, our Bosasha is swabbing the decks and screaming to himself.
As long as he keeps shit clean, I don't care.
Everything checks out.
No one actually, like, remarks on it. Really. Like, everyone's like, it's like, all right, whatever.
It's never... No.
This whole thing is like an insane subplot that's going on, and it makes me so furious that it's like so obviously ridiculous.
I was convinced by the end of this episode that they were all part of some like really unethical experiment to see like either how fast all of them would die or just like how fast they would kill each other.
Return to our tribal roots. You're not part of my group.
They don't do any science. And that's, I guess, their whole thing. And when the episode starts, something is wrong with their ship. And there's an AI on board. I think they call him David. He takes the form of a handsome African-American gentleman.
Yeah, a British accent. Dude.
Yes. So he shows up and... Because one of the mechanics says, well, I think we need to wipe David's hard drive and reset him.
Yes.
And then David shows up and he's like, I would appreciate it if you did not do that.
Yeah. Please don't.
I'm sorry, Hal.
You can't do that. I can't let you. Oh, I can't let you do that.
And then he starts glitching out and his hologram gets all
this
weird.
This is on fire. This is on fire. Yeah. This is on fire.
And then he disappears.
And they all like just stare at him for a minute. And they're like, well, why don't we do it?
I don't know. My impression was they're like, David, you're the fucking ship. Put out the fucking fires. Like, why are you telling us this nonsense? And then he goes away.
But apparently there was like a bug thing that got onto the ship and was like messing with it.
And not a computer virus, a literal bug.
Literal bug messes with computers. So that's a thing.
And then the one brunch lady wasn't sure how to fix it, even though she literally pulled the carcass of the bug out of some component.
I feel like you swap out that component. I don't know.
And then she's like, I guess it might take a while. And I was sort of with you. I was like, that doesn't look like a big part. Like, I think they probably have spares if bugs can get into it that easily.
And like, they showed the ship and it's like this gigantic thing, which is like, okay, so they definitely have tons of spares of everything.
So,
but apparently not.
What Andy is not mentioning is that the ship is in two parts.
Three parts. Well, four parts? It's four. It's like a round thing.
There's a big round thing. Big round thing. And then there's like a big phallic thing going into the middle of the big round thing.
There's three big phallic things, I think, right? There's three sections.
They're all in one big phallic thing. They're in a group.
My phallic thing?
It's a phallic thing going into a big donut. And, like, who did this ship design? I think it was the CG, the VFX people. And they're like, we're not getting paid enough for this. We're going to put a fun sex joke in here. But then we get our second flashback where Starbuck is on Earth or some planet or something, and she's a scientist working in a laboratory where someone just randomly walks in and steals some of the experiment and then goes downstairs, and downstairs is a future Spencer's Gifts. And
she chases. She gives chase.
And Starbuck's lab partner is like, it's not worth it.
It's like, so, this is so weird. Again, we are episode 6, right in the middle of things, right? So we're hopping
but
in.
It's so clear. Part of the frustration with this is it's so clear that they have not done the work of building this world that you're supposed to be invested in, or these characters. You're just supposed to like, oh, Starbuck is doing science shit. Cool. And then she's running down through the future Spencer's Gifts. And who is it? But it's the cool red leather jacket lady with short hair in the future. But now.
Is it Cass?
Cass.
Cass.
Yes. Cass, but she has long hair now. And she takes Starbuck hostage.
Or like, they have friends that snag her. And so this is so.
And there's a Spanish speaking gentleman, correct?
That's a gangster. That's Cass's boss. Cass just watches the hostages. Nico is Starbuck's character. They sort of become closer during this time, but it's...
Wait, who's Nico?
Nico's Starbuck's character.
Can we just call her Starbuck? I'm getting confused.
So Starbuck and Cass have like grown closer over the course of this hostage situation. Yes. So, you know.
Also, apparently these hostage situations are totally normal and par for the course chill. And happen all the time.
Like, she was like in Brazil or something and was like doing real science in Brazil.
That's a real slam against Brazil. But at one point, Cass's character does say, like, didn't they train you for this? You're going to be taking taken hostage. They'll pay up and you'll go home without any bruises or whatever.
It's so insane because they showed that flashback and I was like, wait. So the person that was involved in your hostage situation is now your crew member.
Literally first mate. Not first post Sasha. First mate.
It's Cassie. Insane. I was like, what? Because so obviously there's an issue. What?
Yes, when Starbuck is not on the ship, Cass is in charge.
Yep.
It's so bizarre.
So it's strange.
They have this weird frenemy relationship.
Oh my god.
And so let's get through the whole flashback right now because not much happens, but it keeps coming back throughout the episode.
There's like three more that link back to it. Yeah.
Yes. So Cass has Starbuck and her gangster boss is like, yes, muy delectable. Like,
he's excited to make them moolah off Starbuck's and booty.
So they have Starbuck in a holding cell or something and Cass is sitting there reading. Being a dork.
They're going to make booty off of Starbuck's booty.
I mean, that's the whole premise of the show, I think.
It was a microcosm of the whole show. Yes. Okay, all right, got it.
Yeah, someone in a boardroom is like, what's Katie Sackhoff doing? Cass and Starbuck, they're bonding. And it turns out Cass is like some sort of savant autodidact who knows she's a big fan of Stephen Hawking, and she's
got a lot of time to read in between the hostage situations.
Yeah, because literally her entire job is babysitting the hostages for the gang people.
It's...
And also, I was like, she's going to ruin her eyes if she keeps reading in that dark room. I've been there. You can't do that. You gotta
get less moody...
20-20-20.
Moody space, you know? To read.
Gotta get some good overhead light. Natural. Yeah, anyway. They bond, and Starbuck is like, you should apply to the academy. And Cass is like, what, you think you're going to come in here like the cool substitute teacher who sits backwards on the chair and talks about how Shakespeare was a rapper?
Oh, and my God.
Because I'm a hood rat kid doing hood rat shit with my hood rat friends.
Because I'm tough.
And but apparently, Cass does exactly that and eventually joins the space
ridiculous.
Program where the uniform stuff is really lax because she can wear her cool red leather jacket.
Yeah, or they went up in space and they were immediately like, fuck all the uniforms. I do not care. I'm against
ranks.
Like,
let's brunch it up, bitches.
You know, the only reason you survive in space is because you have these very strict regulations because space tries to kill you all through opportunities.
Space's whole goal is to destroy your existence.
So you have to work really hard and follow all the rules to make no mistakes. And it's like, oh, no, bro. We're going to let things slide around here.
And in the future, so Cass cuts off all of her hair and has a cool, edgy buzz cut. Mm-hmm. Whereas Starbuck goes from blonde ponytail to short blonde bob, and I think maybe has more muscles. She got out of the lab and into the gym.
She was like, I no one steal my science again.
Something like that. I don't know how she got from scientist to astronaut, but apparently she's already an astronaut when she's a scientist, because when they take her hostage, they realize she was on some ship called Pilgrim.
Something famous.
Either famous or infamous and worth more, and the gangster's very excited.
Yeah.
Back on the ship, there's bridge ladies.
We do just need to mention, I don't remember the character's name, but there's a dude who's in the background in every scene who feels like hobbling around on crutches.
The Latinx
character. But I don't think anyone even said his name. I don't remember.
No, he does not have a name.
He's on crutches. He's hurt, obviously, from something
now,
that went on.
Did he have his crutches? Maybe this is the case of the glasses boy in Rim of the World. Did he have his crutches the entire show?
I didn't pay enough attention. He was in the background. He was never the focus of anything.
You did see him in the background throughout the entire show, but it's only at the very end you realize that he's been unable to walk the entire time.
You know, I think he did have something on his foot at least the entire time.
He had maybe a boot.
You'd think they would just like let him go in the low gravity area or something, but they don't have
that
in the ship.
You'd think that in a science fiction show they would have some sort of area like that in a ship of this size.
Anyways, he does nothing the entire show except to distract the doctor in one crucial scene, but he does nothing, and I don't think he even has a line.
Even then, he does not say a word.
I feel like he might have said, like, all right.
He just looks at the camera and says, I have my crutches. He just looks at the camera and you read in his eyes, I can't walk.
I think they're like that, like, they were doing reviews and testing on this show, and, like, he does not test well with the audience. So they're just like, just give him nothing. He's part of the crew, but...
Let's cut him out as much as possible.
He's Jimmy's cousin. He put a bunch of money into the... He's EP for the show. Put him in, but you don't have to give him any
lines. You know what he looks like? He looks like a young, slimmed down Hurley from Lost.
I didn't watch Lost.
Well, the listeners don't know what I'm talking about.
I was going to say Mario from Super Mario Brothers.
Okay, I was going to try and not be racist for at least one episode.
That's Italian versus he's actually Latino, so it's not quite racist.
He didn't even have a mustache. It was a full beard. And he never said, "It's-a me, Mario."
I'm saying his general body shape.
Nor did he do any cool jumps, save any cool princesses, or have a taller, slimmer, older brother.
You know, we don't know how many pipes there are in the ship. He could be the plumber. You don't know.
We don't know if his last name is the same as his first name, because Mario of Super Mario Brothers is Mario Mario, and his brother Luigi is Luigi Mario. Hence the name Mario Brothers.
We also don't know his name. He could be. You know nothing, Jon Snow.
So Mario can't walk. But let's get back to the main thrust of this show.
Run with the racism.
So when the AI being David freaks out and there's fires all over the ship, the penis part separates from the circle part.
Two penis parts. They're like three parts. It like launches them away from the ship to save them or to save the rest of the ship.
It's some sort of protocol to destroy the ship in 30 minutes. It's a shitty device to create tension.
Yeah, it creates tension for no reason.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Because
it's solved by 3 minutes of work on Starbuck's part.
And so then,
it's so dumb.
So in one of the phallic pieces, Starbuck is piloting it, and...
Well, no, she's on the main ship, I think, driving to them. That was my understanding.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because the CGI is really bad, and...
And they sort of cut between views, and so it's sort of hard to tell
close-ups of Cass's face, who is on one of the ships.
Yes.
One of the sex pieces. And then they cut... And close-ups of Starbuck in a cockpit of one of the other sex pieces. And you're not given any sense of where they are in relation to each other.
It's very much like everyone's first time. It's kind of confusing, and no one really knows what's going on. And it is out in the dark.
People cry a little bit when it's all said and done. But so anyway,
oh my god,
we're getting distracted.
And it was very quick.
It was super quick. That's the thing. So it's
like this tense emergency. The ship is separated to because it was going to like an emergency thing, and they need to rejoin. And it's like, oh no! And then Starbuck's like, I'll fly. And then she gets in the cockpit, and then she's got her Tom Cruise face on, and she flies by not doing anything. She jiggles a joystick,
yeah, and then slightly. She is on like a closed link with Cass, and she says, "Are we going to talk about what happened?"
And it's so.
And
it's like,
Cass is like, "Ugh, because."
And I'm like, "No,
this, because you need to do complicated you're math. Doing important work there's in the penis going, ship. You gotta.
Like, if you overshoot this, that's huge amounts of fuel wasted. What do you mean you're going to talk about your relationship right
and
now?"
And so then, like, apparently something happened in one of the previous episodes where Starbuck and Cass. We're on a moon somewhere, both stoned out of their gourds. And they were apparently saying all this shit where Cass was saying how, like, Starbuck is just a sociopath with no empathy.
Yeah.
And I guess Starbuck said that Cass has a cool leather jacket.
They hurt each other's fifis to some degree. Because her leather jacket is awesome, not
cool. They said nasty things to each other, which I guess all of them had some sort of kernel of truth, is what we're supposed to get from this scene.
Yeah.
But they said it when they were really stoned, according to Starbuck.
In vino veritas.
So they bonded? It was very strange.
I mean... What's the syndrome you get when you're...
Stockholm?
Yeah, so post-Stockholm syndrome, they bonded further. It's really...
All of their Stockholm syndrome happened after the captivity, which is a weird twist on Stockholm syndrome.
Well, they just doubled up on the Stockholm.
Sure.
Okay, so she took her, Starbuck took her emotionally
hostage. At one point,
later.
Starbuck goes up to Cass and is like, "Why can't I quit you?"
I wish I
could. God, that would have been amazing, right? Oh, that's such a better movie. Better
I haven't
everything.
Seen it, but I still prefer it to this.
It's very good. You should watch it.
It's supposed to be great.
Yeah. good watch, Junior. Brooklyn Mountain. Gay Cowboys. Yay. Now, they put the penis ship in the donut ship, but one of the magnets or whatever that's supposed to connect the two, it like won't work.
Oh, another a fake.
Literally,
another
one
fake
of the brunch
moment.
Women is like flipping a switch on a wall, and the light won't turn green.
And they click, flip it.
So then,
it's not working. Maybe just keep going.
So then, totally undermining the tension of the scene, you see Starbuck get in the spacesuit.
So she's just going to do a spacewalk by herself, no problem.
She's doing a solo spacewalk.
Yep.
She gets in the spacesuit, and she's on the side of the ship fixing the dumb magnet or whatever, and then all of a sudden, she's thrown from the side of the vessel.
What happened that caused that? Something was moving?
Nothing happened. I think she shoved off the edge of the ship because
something happened that made it move.
She's a drama. drama queen. I almost said drama bitch. A drama queen is the term.
I sort of like drama bitch, though.
She's a drama bitch. She's like, oh my god, I'm drifting in space.
Something happened. I don't remember what, but something happened.
It's very unclear, though, because she's in space where there's no gravity, and there's clearly a force pulling her away from the ship, which is either the producers or bad writing.
There's something happens, I promise. I don't remember what, because it's
Andy,
not memorable.
Andy, don't defend any part of this.
I am
bad
helping
show.
This show to the top. We're bringing this.
She has a dumb umbilical cord connected to the ship, but that breaks too because she's the drama bitch.
Why would you build it to hold the tensile strength of anything?
And then she's floating in space,
Their jump drive,
their
hyper drive, or warp drive, and it like. It's a blue shield, purplish thing, like energy field that tears her cable. Then they teleport away, and she's left alone. And that's now we've caught up to.
And then she's like, "Fuck."
Yeah, it's like okay, all right.
And then they're on the ship. Meanwhile, on the ship,
yeah,
they're trying to figure out how to get back.
As
from
she's
the jump.
Fallen off, she noticed that there was damage to the ship as well. So
and then she has the charming flashback we related earlier.
Yeah, and she tries to relay that to them, but there's radio distortion, so they don't
hear. Yeah, because they're light years away.
Well, they were... No, that was before they left. She's like, hey, guys, did you see the damage to the ship?
And
yeah. And they're like, what? What? Starbuck, what?
Going into light speed. They go into light speed, and they're like, uh-oh. We left behind our captain. And I was really hoping it was sort of... There would sort of be a question of, did Cass do this on purpose so she could take command of the ship? And that's such a rich vein that it goes unexplored. Because there's already tension between those two characters that everyone knows
attempted
about.
Attempted tension.
And, yeah, the stoned tension. It's about as tense as it gets in this show. Like,
you said mean things about me. Now I'm going to kill you.
As tense as it gets in this show is when you're stoned out of your gourd and you're out of Ben and Jerry's. That's like, and you're like, oh, fuck. And then you're like, oh, wait, there's GoPuff.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you by GoPuff.
When one of the main characters died, I guess she probably wasn't main, she was a side character. When one of the side characters dies...
One of the brunchies. Brunch
ladies. Yeah, the midriff girl. When she dies, it's very much not, like, it's very much not a tense moment. It's just sort of stupid, and I knew it was coming, so
yes.
It's like...
Yeah, you know she's going to die, like, 5 minutes before it happens. Mm-hmm. So Starbuck's floating in space. Cass did not mean to leave her there, apparently. They managed to go back and get her, and somehow Starbuck does something, messes with her oxygen to, like...
She makes a cut in her suit
flare.
And then ignites it, and they see it because a burst of fire.
Gas is very flammable.
Yeah.
And or oxygen is very flammable. Yeah. So then they pick her up. She's all better in a matter of minutes or so.
No problem.
Then
epoxy is ain't no thing.
And then the ship is failing again. I think David comes back. He's like, I am not a human.
They were like, so then she's like, guys, did you take care of the damage? And like, what damage? And that's when they go.
They're like, we were trying to find you.
That's when Midriff Girl, like, so the other part of this ship is gargantuan. You need to understand it. Because there's eight people on the ship, and there's 100 miles of corridors.
It's truly absurd.
Yes, and it's so amazing.
The scale of the ship in comparison to the humans on board is ridiculous.
I love space, I love science stuff. There are designs of ships, the theoretical designs, where they would have really long corridors because you put like a water shield or something up front. They didn't do any of that stuff.
Or
so
you need
like
a ship of that size to get the energy necessary
to have fuel storage. Yeah. But that's like, they have huge corridors and there's like nothing, there's a ton of empty space in the ship.
We're in the corridor section of this episode.
And
where
they're like, run, go solve this problem.
They're doing all these different camera angles in what is clearly one long hallway.
It might be two because she turns a lot. As Cass is Cass, so Midriff Girl's running to shut off the exotic matter creation reactor, and
exotic matter is leaking everywhere.
Like
whatever,
it's creating exotic matter. Like yeah. okay, whatever. But so she's got to solve a problem, and they're like, "There's a panel," and so she finds the panel. She goes, "I found the panel,"
and she opens steps it. To the side.
Hold on. I gotta set this up perfectly, Evan. So she finds the panel. And there's a big red button, and they're like, "Hit the button!" And she looks at the button. This button, and then
he's doing an amazing job, guys. This is exactly how it goes.
And then it cuts back to them, like, "Yeah, that button." And then you cut back to her. She's like, "Okay." And so instead of just fucking hitting the button, there's all this like dialogue and like tension. Oh no, hit the button! And then something behind her explodes, and a piece of metal hits the button and kills it. So she can't hit the button anymore.
Oh my god. And it's so funny too, because like instead of
also
like,
it's CGI damage to the button, so it looks crappy, and it's like that's very clearly
it's
just
CGI shrapnel damage. But what's hysterical to me is that the writers or the whoever did this show was like, we need to cut back and forth between these two people who are clearly in the same hallway but miles apart somehow.
Yeah,
it would have been so much more dramatic to have both of them on the scene trying to like, maybe the panel's locked and they have to pry it open, and then they're like, "Hooray," and then the shrapnel comes in and kills Midriff Girl through the head, and it hits the button behind her.
Yeah,
because literally at one point she finally gets it open, she very clearly steps to one side, is like, "I got it open," and then the shrapnel comes flying past her face.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. So they're like just move to the side and we'll just CGI the effect in, and it was like really bad.
And then
So then they're like, okay, well, and she's like, "Well, what do I do, guys? You only have like 30 seconds
and
now before the
Cass
end of the ship."
And her leather jacket are still on like the penis part. And
they're on floor 42.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I'm
floor
on G.
Floor 42, Lido Deck B.
Yeah. I have to go past the women's department to get to you. I'll be down in a minute. So she's still running. So she's like, "All right, so guys, I'm going to do this. What do I need to do? Do a manual thing. And they're like, you have to go in the reactor and pull the plugs, but don't do it. I'll be right there." And which is like, what are you going to do differently?
And Midriff Woman is like, "We're out of time. It's my hero moment."
Yeah.
She opens the door, and there's like this weird reactor thing making what they call exotic matter.
Yeah.
And that's somehow fueling the ship.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, sure, whatever.
And it's this, it's
science
whatever.
Thing.
It's dumb
my favorite part
stuff.
Is it's like 15 feet. There's 15 feet
it's
of empty
in
space.
The church, the ship, no, it's in the ship's chapel room.
It's ridiculous.
It looks like a space church.
Like she could have put a row of pews in there. Actually, that's why all that space is in there. They are going to make a shrine there for her afterwards. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the future of
the only
show.
Thing it's missing is some stained glass.
Well, it's got all the pretty lights from the energy thing
the
on the ceiling.
Lights.
So it's good.
It has future stained glass. But it's this little weird, like, oven-looking thing with looks like minion headlamps on it.
Yep.
And it has these hoses coming out of it. And Midriff Girl runs up, and she's like, "I just need to remove one hose and then get out before the exotic matter kills me, because it's going to rip me apart at the molecular level."
Uh-huh.
And then she looks at the camera and says, "Exposition dump." And she pulls out one of the hoses and
like,
"It's not enough. Uh-oh, the failsafe didn't work." She has to pull out four fucking hoses. Meanwhile,
each time she does, she's like, "Oh,"
Cass
as the energy
20 miles away, running the marathon of her life to get to the
Cass actually, they don't show it, but after this episode, Cass dies of exhaustion after arriving.
Cass
there.
Is like the first person to ever run a marathon. She reaches the end and is like, "Fuck," and just keels over dead. Don't run marathons. I think it's a bad idea for your body. But you do you.
Seems like a pretty solidly bad move.
It seems like a poor decision in so many ways. Midriff Girl is like, "Do I have my hero moment?" And literally, like, there's actually, credit where credit is due, there were some cool practical effects for her death.
They gave her a bunch of makeup stuff they did for her face,
this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then they ruin it by giving her a CGI face where, like, the blood is coming up from underneath.
Yeah.
It looked so cool before that.
Yeah.
And I guess this exotic matter, like, liquefies people.
I mean, they were doing radiation damage, basically, which does horrifying things to your body. And CGI-ing it is going to look crappy, so I sort of...
Yeah.
They should have just said,
like, "Oh, she died before everything deteriorated."
Yeah, because that's just...
Because they were doing so good with
the
practical
effects.
Don't do a crappy
CGI thing where everyone has to, like, work around that. It's just...
30 days later, Starbuck makes it up to the chapel. And Cass is still there, mourning the pool of blood that was Midriff Brunch Girl.
Doesn't she totally disappear?
Yeah, she's just a puddle. Yeah, she's literally a flesh puddle on the floor.
Oh, man.
And then Starbuck is like, well, she saved the day. And I guess at one point, Midriff Girl is like, make sure Sasha knows. Don't take credit for my hero move. And Cass is like, I won't take credit. Oh, my God. And meanwhile, so Starbuck is like, we have to wake him up. And it's like some dude in cryo freeze or cryostasis or in hypersleep.
Don't remember
it's the
this.
Very end of the episode. You might have checked out. So Andy had to watch this over two separate evenings.
Oh, it was too bad. It was too much.
Because he is weak. I watched it in one 42-minute marathon session.
It was so long. It's so bad.
Awful. But they're getting some guy out of cryo sleep, and the AI guy, David, is like, you know, once we wake him up, there's no going back. And Starbuck is like, I know. I'm Tom Cruise, bitch.
No, Tom Cruise doesn't say anything when he's in that mode. He just looks. That's
and then
all he
does that sprint with the stiff arms. So meanwhile, Sasha is still getting visits from his future president.
Yeah, I was gonna say we gotta return to.
We
this
gotta
guy.
Go back to Sasha because at one point I don't
and
remember.
It's not future. It's his alter ego. At least I thought he was bipolar.
He clearly
sort of
says. And that's how I became president. I
don't remember that.
He says that.
Okay.
When he's swabbing the decks. I watched it in one sitting. You were skipping out.
I think this is alter ego.
I don't want to be fucking president. Sounds like a bad job, frankly. But Sasha's on his way. And so he goes to
the doctor
yeah. and gets a brain scan. The doctor apparently never looks at
so,
said
yeah,
brain
scan.
This
like blew my mind.
Anyways. I would say, though, when the Sasha initially goes to the doctor, Sasha says, I feel like I'm having these out-of-body experiences. Mm. The doctor actually gives a very good explanation of dissociation, where the doctor's like, that's our response to trauma, where if something is too difficult or too intense, we sort of separate ourselves from it and observe it from the outside. And Sasha is like, I think that's what's going on. So they take a brain scan.
Yep.
Doctor does not look at said brain
scan.
Which
is not what, like, if you're going to explain something to a patient, you need to be able, you need to look at it beforehand. So yep. In this instance, doctor doesn't do that. Doctor's like, I got the results of your brain scan.
Let me help this gentleman who can't walk.
But has been while he has been crutching around.
I'm going to get him to his physical therapy appointment. It's just down the hall.
Yeah, in this giant, because they have so much space that the med lab thing is separate from the PT lab / swimming pool they're going to work on his toe bones.
I love the idea that there's a physical therapist we haven't met. He's just totally over. He's like, God, fuck you. I don't care if you can walk again. Get out of here.
Everyone comes in, they've just got such flat tension in the upper neck area. I just gotta work on everyone here. It's crazy.
It's like, I'm not a fucking masseuse. I'm a physical therapist.
Oh, man.
So he doctor walks and, out, yep. Non-walker boy. Mm-hmm. And
who's
Sasha,
now, like, limping, walking.
And now Sasha has clearly been taken over by Dark Sasha.
Dark Sasha.
President Dark Sasha. And he goes to the computer and he pulls up his own brain scan and there's like some sort of spider thing
really crappy,
perched on
like
top of his
like...
brain. It looks like 90s video game bullshit. Uh-huh. It looks terrible. And
so
Dark Sasha
like
sees this
up in his
and
brain.
Deletes the file mm-hmm. because...
And that's not going to be suspicious to the doctor at all.
It's
and...
not as if the doctor has to log in to access patient yep. files. It's not as if he'll notice the file is missing.
Because all that thing I talked about. Like, I mean, I would be... If there's eight people... I don't have a lot of people to take care of. If someone says I need a brain scan, I'm going to check that shit out.
So,
check it out.
Yeah. But Dark Sasha, he wants to be president. He's like, we don't have time for this nonsense. I got to bury these skeletons deep in the closet. And then the episode mercifully ends.
Oh, God. So long.
And time for predictions. So I think that when Starbuck was on the one sex part and Cass and others were on the other sex part,
okay.
was sort of foreshadowing... for when the crew splits into factions. And on one side, it's Cass and everyone else.
Well,
and on
yeah.
the other side, it's Starbuck and maybe David.
Sasha. Sasha, who's unhappy about being on the side.
Starbuck and President Sasha and the AI David.
AI, glitchy AI.
Glitchy AI David, who's setting the ship on fire because yeah. it's a little pyro now.
Yeah, and that's again how they split up. Yes, no, I agree with that vision entirely.
Yes, and then somehow Cass... saves the day, well, but Starbuck is going to be the one who takes credit.
But well, that's because Sasha's going to turn into an alien type creature. That's when they're going to have the scene with her and her sports bra shooting Sasha and his bug babies, And then Cass is going to take credit to save the day.
No, I think Cass is somehow going to actually be the savior, but she's still not going to take the hero moment because Midriff Girl told her not to.
Mm.
And Starbuck will.
Okay. And that sets up more tension for season 17 of this show. May Jesus. It, in Nomine Patri et Spiritus Sancto, may go on forever.
And like I said before, this episode is brought to you by GoPuff. If you're feeling munchy and you're related to me or you're very stoned, call up GoPuff on your smartphone. It's basically anything you can get at CVS. They'll deliver to your front door for an exorbitant fee. They didn't pay us anything, so I can sort of make up the copy as we go. It's a real thing, though. This is actually one of our real services.
Like, this feels real, but you're saying it with your sarcastic tone, so I actually cannot grasp
it. It's entirely real, and I'm describing it as the only way I describe things. I don't know what you're talking about. GoPuff. Get your shit today.
Good watch.
All right.
So, I made sure Andy did his homework.
I'm not waiting for Evan to do his while I think furiously about what I like to watch recently. So my good watch this week is a show that's on Netflix that Allison introduced me to, and she loves it so much she's watched it multiple times. It is called Dairy Girls, and it is absolutely phenomenal. I have to recommend it to everyone.
Is it Dairy Girls like cow girls?
Dairy is in Ireland, Irish.
How is that spelled?
D-E-R-R-Y.
There you go. Now people can search for it on Netflix. You're welcome, everyone.
Dairy Girls.
I got you.
It's really great. It's taking place during the time of the Troubles, and it's, they're a bunch of, they are Catholics? I think they're Catholics.
It's, yes, Andy. Jesus. How are you not sure they're Catholics if you've watched this show?
I mean, the difference...
They go to Catholic school.
Okay,
it's set in the Troubles, and they literally have an episode where they meet a bunch of Protestant
boys. I forgot. I couldn't remember if they were the Protestants or they were the... I couldn't remember if they were the Protestants or the Catholics. Anyways, it's phenomenal. It's a bunch of hijinks of like young girls plus one young boy who goes to an all-girls school, and it is super excellent. Really fast, tight writing.
Very funny.
You can watch it multiple times because you'll pick up on jokes that you missed the first time around. I highly recommend it.
I love they call the high schoolers in the show the main characters. The adults call them the Waynes, which is like a portmanteau of the Weans,
mm-hmm.
And it's so charming and adorable. I just want to call everyone my little Wayne. Like, God, it's the best.
The nun characters were my favorites.
The headmistress at their Catholic school is incredible, to be sure.
She's a nun. And like one of the teachers complained, like, oh yeah, I got much better pay, and I can get a lot better accommodations. Mm-hmm. And the nun's like, it's one of the reasons I got into this gig.
Free accommodation. The accommodation. And it's like, okay, there you go. So that's on Netflix, Dairy Girls. Another thing that's on Netflix that you can watch instead of Another Life, unless you're feeling masochistic, is called Enemy, which I'm very excited to talk about because it's by one of Andy's and my favorite directors, Denis Villeneuve.
I don't know this.
Starring Jake Gyllenhaal, who I think is incredibly talented and doesn't get the credit he deserves. Again, go watch Brokeback Mountain and you'll see what I'm talking about. He's an enemy.
Okay.
And even further, one of my favorite writers, the late, great Jose Saramago, he was a Portuguese writer, regretfully passed away maybe 10 or so years ago, and won the Nobel Prize for Literature. He wrote a book called The Double, which is what Enemy is based on. And I think the reason they said it's not called, the movie's not called The Double, because there was a Jesse Eisenberg movie based on the Dostoevsky book called The Double that was coming out the same year. So anyway, but it's so cool. It's this guy, he's a sort of a depressed college professor, and he's watching a movie that a colleague recommended he rent, and he sees a person who looks exactly like him as like a bit part actor in the movie. And so he tracks this guy down and things just get crazy. It's so cool. One of my favorite little tidbits, maybe about Denis Villeneuve and this movie ever, are that all of the actors had to sign an NDA saying that when they were doing press to promote the film, they would not say what the motif or the image of spiders in the film meant, which is so fucking cool because spiders are a recurring motif in the film. I love that Denis Villeneuve was like, no, you will not talk about the spider.
They are my arachnids.
My arachnids. God damn it, Jake Gyllenhaal. It's so fun. It's 90 minutes. It's a little disturbing. It was one of those, again, where I watched it and I wanted to watch it again. It's really cool.
Okay. I'll check that out.
On Netflix. But yeah.
Is it a horror or...
It's like more dark... like a creepy thriller.
Okay.
I would not say horror at all. Yeah, like, no jump scares or anything.
Yeah.
Just sort of unsettling.
Okay. That seems like a good vein you've been mining lately.
That's my shit, man. Totally, that's my
unsettling.
Shit.
Unsettling. Yeah. I like feeling squeaky at the end of my movies.
That's lame. That's for suckers. I'm not talking about The Lobster, which a lot of people do like. I just found it extremely disturbing.
I enjoyed that. It's ridiculous, but I enjoyed it.
So, Lobster's also on Netflix, I think. Dating, you know. Get out there. Don't become a lobster. Or maybe you're looking for The Lobster. I don't know. He's Andy.
That guy's Evan.
And this is Bad Watch.
Yay.
Good night.
We made it.
The end.
Salute.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Bye.